Well, let's we have a few minutes. I was yakking there. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading in verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." But I like this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." So we have it already. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So we have this power in us. And it says here in verse 8, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. "Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith." See, don't say, "I'd like to." "It sure would be nice to have." We have. That's something that we can say. I have a spirit of faith. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Hallelujah. Let me read this in the Amplified. It says in verse 13, "Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We too believe, and therefore speak." Now, I like this. This is the Knox translation, K-N-O-X translation. It says, "I spoke my mind, says the scripture, with full confidence." Let me read that again. "I spoke my mind, says the scripture, with full confidence, and we too speak our minds with full confidence." Now, I was sharing on Sunday, and let's just jump over there for a moment. You can turn there to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We'll just look at this scripture for a moment. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And starting in verse 1, it says, "I beseech you," this is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How are we going to be transformed? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that's how, when we're talking Sunday and sharing, that's how the spirit of faith becomes, I would say, evident when we were sharing Sunday, the spirit of faith is an attitude. How many people, let me read this scripture to you, because this was just some scriptures that I wrote down for this evening. I'll read these to you. You can jot them down. Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." This another scripture here. We're all familiar with this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Well, let's read this. Let's read this in a more the Message translation. I like this. But don't fool yourselves. I like this. Don't let yourselves be poisoned by this anti-resurrection loose talk. Bad company ruins good manners. So let me ask this question. If bad company can ruin good manners, what can good company do? It can improve and enhance and impart things into you that can improve your character. And so a lot of times when we talk about something, you know, some folks will say, you know, they say this and they talk about the spirit of faith. It's not something that's taught, it's caught. You don't teach the spirit of faith, it's something you catch, or it's caught. How is that caught? It's caught by being around people of faith. Because if bad company can corrupt, then good company can affect positively our character. You know this, anybody who's been to any kind of a meeting, what happens when faith is taught? You walk out, something has been deposited in you. And if it's taught with an anointing, you walk out and say, "I got something that I can work with." So you caught something. You caught, I don't want to say an attitude, but that faith that was taught was tangible. What is it? Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith has tangibility. It's spiritual. So the spirit of faith is something that's tangible. It can be seen. And so when we talk about that, something that's caught, we know that in an environment where there's an atmosphere of faith, it affects you. You know darn well if you hang around people that want to talk negative, you hang around that long enough and you'll begin to think negative. You'll begin to talk negative. That's why when you see people, just some thoughts come, but when you see people go to, who is it, Tony Robbins and some of the, where they're motivational settings and others, what happens when people get around in those settings? They all talk positive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this, don't they? So there's a spirit about those settings. There's an atmosphere. There's an attitude. And so when we are around people, we need to make sure that if we're around negativity, we're the ones having an impact on it. And not hanging out with negativity. In other words, we need to be the ones having the impact on it. And so I was saying all that to say that the spirit of faith, this attitude that we have, that we catch, starts with, right here in Romans 12:2, by renewing the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so as we meditate in the Word of God, and that's what did Joshua 1:8 say? As we don't let this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate in it day and night, so that you'll make your way what? Prosperous. So as you meditate and think upon and mutter and to confess the Word of God, you believe that, you say it, you'll begin to make your way prosperous. That's a spirit of faith. That's an attitude. That's a way of thinking that will affect everything that you do. What do I mean by that? When you have an attitude adjustment, let's put it that way, when you have an attitude adjustment, everything you see will be seen through that way of thinking. You won't see one thing one way and another thing another way. Your attitude is, we can do this. This is going to change. It looks impossible, but it's going to change. Why? I just believe it. And so a person that has a spirit of faith has an attitude that's an overcomer. And so how does... Let me read this, Romans 12:2. Let me read this in... let me come over here a second. That particular scripture verse, I like this. And this is the Amplified and then the Phillips. I like the Phillips translation. And then, of course, the Message. But the Amplified, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude." So this adjustment, and we all look, I want to say I'm just like you, but we all live in flesh and blood bodies, and we all are renewing our minds. So some of us, we get in line in the grocery store and we have to wait 5 minutes and we need an attitude adjustment. Or we have to stand at the teller at the bank and we're like, man, why don't they get another teller here? I mean, come on. And we're like, attitude. It's like, wait a minute. What happened? You know, look, we're all there. Or somebody, you're driving and somebody gets up on you and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, you know, and honk. And you're like, okay, roll the window down. And you're like, come on. And, you know, I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about, I'm just using examples of what people do, see? Some of those things may have been what I used to do, but I've had an attitude adjustment. You understand what I mean? So we all have gone through different stages in our life where, you know, we've needed some adjustments. I saw somebody, this ministry down in Florida, and I was showing Pastor Greg, I like this. They were partnering with the Salvation Army, and I liked this. They all got shirts, T-shirts. Of course, they're in Florida. They can do that at Christmas time. We ain't going out at Christmas time in T-shirts, but unless you're a polar bear. Yeah, unless you wear a sweatshirt and put it over the top of your sweatshirt, right. But it said, "I love my church," you know, big thing here. "Well, I love my church," and then it has the web address on the back. And he said, "Now, if you're going to go into Walmart and you're going to act ornery, don't wear that T-shirt." So, just don't wear it. But, you know, the key is we just need to, it's a growth process for us, and it takes time. But it takes an effort. We can't just, one of the things that we're going to have to do, this is where faith comes in. Faith is not something that you just come and listen to on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday and go home and then you don't put any action to it. This is something that, you know, that's like people who go to the gym and watch other people exercise. So, man, I went to the gym. I'm tired. I'm sweating watching these people work out. And you're still gaining weight. So there's been no action there. You know what I mean? So faith without works is dead. There's got to have to be some work and some action in order for there to be some improvement in our attitude about just things that we have to deal with in life. You know, can be attitude with one another. You know, we have to work with one another, and we have to accommodate one another in life. And so, you know, it takes work, right? And this is the Phillips translation. I like this. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice. See, once he starts to remold, you have to prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. This is the message. You've heard this before. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in into it without even thinking. Now, what do I mean by that? We all come out of a different culture. All of us, if we hear, we have various different cultures. We have Caucasian, we have African American, we can have West Indian, we can have whatever, you can name it, right? So what this is saying is don't fit into your culture without even thinking about it. You're of another kingdom now. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Yes, you live in this shell, but there's God's trying to fit you into his mold and shape and change you. So that what happens? The spirit of faith rises up in you and you see things like God sees them. That now you're not defeated in life. So now you approach things as an overcomer. You approach it saying, I can do that. I can have that. I can go there. I can do that. I was listening, I like to listen to faith tapes in the morning. I do. I just have them running and listen to it. I go in and out of one room and I listen to it. And sometimes as I'm shaving or brushing my teeth, I'm listening to a faith tape. I am. I'm just listening to it. Feed my faith all the time. Every day, getting up, going around, I'm listening to a faith tape. And this morning, I just happened to be listening to something that Brother Keith Moore was sharing. And see, these are the kind of things, he said, this is what you call boots on the ground, right, where you live. He said he was impressed to go from piloting a single-engine aircraft to a jet. Well, that's a big jump. That's like going from a putt-putt to a... So he said he was impressed to do that. And he went to one of the best flight schools. And he said all of these pilots came in. They had thousands of hours of flight training in jets. He had none. So he said it piled with books. And he said, you get into a simulator. And he said, you know, when you get in this simulator for a jet, he said, you're in the real deal. He said, you just close the door, and it's like you're in the real deal. And he said, they start creating all kinds of issues and everything's just coming at you and you've got to handle it. And he said his mind was saying, forget this, I'm giving up. And he said he'd have to get out of bed at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, pile into that simulator, and he's like, what? He said his hands were on the wheel saying, turn around and go home. He said, why am I doing this? Because your mind is like, I can't do this. It's too hard. And he said, no. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's going to give me the wisdom to do this. And that's what he did. And he began to make his mouth say, I can do this. And he did. And he passed all his things. And of course, he flies a jet. But the point is, he had to say something at the moment of wanting to give up. And we all face that. We all face situations where it's so tangible, you could taste it, that, forget this. It's too hard. I don't want to do this. It's too challenging. These people are too challenging. Whatever it is. And if God has given you direction, faith is going to say, I can do this. Even when it looks impossible. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He used to say this for years in ministry. I'd rather set my goal high and get the half of them than set it to nothing and get it all. And I said, yes, sir. So he said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and you get them all. Nothing. So set your goals high. Set them high. If you don't reach them all, fine, but get to half. Get three quarters of them. That's more than nothing. Right? Amen. So the spirit of faith says, I can do that. I'm going to go over. If there's some impossibility in your body, if Christ says, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and that I have been healed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Then I don't care what comes on my body. It must change. It's got to change. That does not mean I don't go to doctors. That does not mean you don't get a checkup. Even if the doctor says X, Y, Z, this word has the power in it to change my body. He took on my stripes so that I don't have to. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And no different when it comes to my prosperity. If I will just stick steady with God's word, it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith says, I can. I'm going to have this, and I'm going to do it. It's not just believing it, but it's saying it. I appreciate the Spirit of God had something, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, there was a word that came out on the floor. Sister O'Reilly, the Holy Ghost used her for this, and said, new labels. The Holy Spirit is moving, removing labels. And he's replacing that with new labels. See? So the spirit of faith will not take those kind of negative labels. The spirit of faith says, I'm a new creature in Christ. I am the healed. I'm not inadequate. I'm not depressed. I'm not sick. That's not my label. I'm not poor. I do not lack. That's not my label. You see. So what's my label? My label is, I wish above all things that I prosper and be in health. Hallelujah. Even as my soul prospers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Romans 4 for a moment. And let's just look at this for a moment before we leave. I like this particular rendering here. We can see where Abraham is concerned. You think Abraham had a spirit of faith? Oh, I think so. Boy, where do you back up to? I was going to say. I'm going to start at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. That's us. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. This is the spirit of faith right here. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. See, now this is another, as you can see how a spirit of faith is. And being not weak in faith, he did what? He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did what? He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. See, this is what a spirit of faith is. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Let me ask this question. When you have a spirit of faith, you know it. If you have to say, gee, I don't know if I have it or not, maybe you don't. Because when faith is there, you know it. And when there's a spirit of faith, you know it. And let me ask this question. Those things that you get excited about, I'll say it this way. When you're in faith, you're excited. And you're excited about it. You don't say, well, I don't know if I'm going to get through this or not. I don't know. That's not faith. Faith is excited. Faith has excitement with it. And when you talk about something in faith, let me ask this question. Have any of you been down at the mouth about going on a cruise? I don't know. I'm telling you. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we got to go on a cruise next week, and I don't know how we're going to handle this. You're going on a trip. You haven't been on it, but you made plans to go. You're excited about it. You're still operating in faith going on that. You made plans. You haven't gone yet. You're still in faith going, but you're excited about it. There's excitement. About what? About going on this cruise or trip or whatever it is that you're... Could be a new car, could be a new house, whatever it is, you're excited about it. Some of the ladies, it could be a pair of new shoes. I don't know. See, there's them finger went up. Yes, sir, right there. It could be a coat. I don't know. Whatever turns you on, you got it, and you're like, yes, sir. But that's my point. Faith, there's excitement with faith, and there's an excitement about a spirit of faith, about that. And so, it's good to check up on ourselves, and if we're not there yet, how do we get there? Renewing our minds. Constantly renewing our minds. And I'll tell you, faith comes by hearing. I've learned this. How many of you, because we get there, you know, we run and run and run and run and run. And I think it was the last month or so. It's been a couple months since I took some time off, and I said, we're just running. And I felt physically exhausted, physically and mentally. And when you're running and going all the time, sometimes you need to just shut down. And so I did. And so I'm finding that what's helping me is, yes, rest helps, but that's not the only thing. It's constantly listening and feeding to the Word of God, getting that down here, getting life down inside here, that will strengthen you so that you can run some more. Amen? And so that life, what comes along with that life is a change in what? Attitude. A change in my strength and my perspective on things. What happened? Has any of you gone to a good faith meeting where you've gone to a convention for 5 or 6 days? How did you feel when you got out? Charged up. I'll tell you what I did when I was working for corporate America. I would get 4 or 5 weeks of vacation, and I would plan out. This was when I was young. I would go to at least 4 or 5 faith meetings. I'd go to a couple of Brother Hagin's meetings at the time. I'd go to 2 or 3 of Brother Copeland's meetings and somebody else. And I was sitting in somebody's meeting for 5 days, at least 5 times a year. Now, that's a personal choice. I'm not certainly telling you to do that, but that was a personal choice for me, that I was making deposits in me. And so there's nothing wrong with vacationing. I love going on cruises and vacation. But I can tell you one thing, when you get back, a lot of us are like this, oh, I need another vacation. I need another vacation from my vacation. Because I'm run out. But I'll tell you one thing, you go sit in a faith convention and you come back and you're ready to leap over a wall and plow through some things. Isn't that true? So for us, going into this new year, I encourage us take the time to not only feed on the Word of God, get good faith tapes and just play them and play them and play them and get that down in your spirit so that it will strengthen us as we enter into this new year. There's lots going to be done. There's some exciting things we're planning. A lot of exciting things. We're going to announce it soon, but there's some great things going on to feed us and some things that we're planning on in the community and some other things. So it's a lot to do, a lot of souls to reach, a lot of development in us individually that we're planning. So just some great things that God has been leading us to do, and we're excited about it. And so as we close, let's make this affirmation of faith. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now here's one thing I want to do this. Let's do this. I like this here. Let's make this confession here. I'm going to say this here. I stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but I am strong in faith, giving glory to God, and I am fully persuaded that what He has promised, He is able also to perform it. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I'm not going to stagger at the promises of God, but I am fully persuaded that what He promised, He's able to perform it. And I'm going over and not under. And we're going to reach new levels of spiritual growth this year, individually and corporately, in the name of Jesus. I go as much by the Word of God as by prophetic utterances. And, sometimes, let me just read this here. I was looking at something. Sometimes I have to go back and look at things that God has spoken so that I remind myself. And sometimes when God has spoken to you through His Word or through someone, when you honor those words, if you honor this, then you don't stagger at it. You're persuaded of it, especially when there's faith involved. And if you receive words that have been spoken to you, you keep that before you, and as God reminds you, you look at those. But this was something that we were ordained at Rhema, at the end of that ordination, Pastor Hagen, by the Spirit, called myself and Pastor Greg back up again. We weren't expecting this. Was the Holy Ghost. And he said these words. He said, "As co-pastors, the Lord says to you, I set things in motion years ago. Sometimes you have wondered and you have questioned." That's true. How'd I get into this? Well, you do. You're normal, so there's there's questions that you have, I kid about that, but God spoke to me as a young man and said you'd be doing some of these things. So it's not that I questioned it. I knew it was of God, so I don't want to kid about that. But he said, "But know this, as you work together," I'm talking about with Pastor Greg, "as you work together, each allowing the other's strengths to come forth, you will see a springing forth as the phoenix sprung out of the ashes. You will see a renewal that you have longed for and prayed for, and the anointing is upon you to do it in the name of Jesus." And of course, he laid hands on us And it was a powerful anointing that came upon us. So we believe that the most important thing that we can do is follow the Spirit of God as He's given us direction here in this church. And that word right there is, as we allow each other's strengths to come forth, He will cause a renewal. And so we're believing and trusting God that there's some things that we've been, as I say, working behind the scenes and doing some things that are about to come forth. There's a lot of prophetic words that have come forth, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't live your life by prophecy. It's a guide. It should confirm some things in your life. That's okay. This right here is what we live our life by. This is what strengthens us. This is what gets us through life, is this right here. This is the sure word. This is what it says you dig down deep and build your foundation upon, so that when the storms of life come and they beat against your house, it says it cannot fall. So there's nothing wrong with prophetic utterances, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to live right here in this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for these great men and women of faith that sit in this room. And we thank you that their faith is growing exceedingly. And we thank you, Father, that even in ways they don't realize, because sometimes, Father, we don't know how much our faith has been developed until we're confronted with something. So, Father, we thank you that we don't shy back from the tests of life, but we thank you that it's an opportunity to prove this faith that's been deposited and developed in us. And we thank that as we come against mountains, that we will overcome these mountains and walk over them and cast them into the sea, or walk around them or over them or through them. But we thank you that we are overcomers in this life, and we're operating in a spirit of faith. And we thank you that just like Abraham, just like Joshua and Caleb, just like David, just like Abraham and Jesus, we shall operate in this spirit of faith and overcome, and the works that shall be done individually and corporately in and through this ministry will be noised abroad in this nation and in this state. And we thank you for it, Father, that people will come from the north and the south and the east and the west to see this great work that you've done here, Father, in and through us. And we thank you for it, Father. We're ready to be used. We say yes to you. Yes to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.